Hello, this is Ellis Prince, the pastor of the Gallery Church of Baltimore. I want to thank you for joining our podcast today. I hope this teaching inspires you and gives you courage to pursue Jesus Christ. I hope that this is just the beginning of a conversation between you and Jesus. If we can help you in any way, please feel free to reach out. Now let's get back to the podcast.
Good morning, Gallery family. If everyone could take a seat, we're going to get started. Good morning. My name is Kevin, and I'm going to be reading our New Testament scripture this morning out of the book of James. James 19 through 27. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into that perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongue deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of God.
Good morning, everybody. I want to make sure I start the timer because I'm a Black Baptist preacher and you might be here till the late afternoon. So I am very excited to continue in our series together on the book of James that we've entitled Word and Deed. Now, it's very interesting because James can tend to split people down the middle, whether you love it or hate it. All right, because James speaks matter-of-factly. Well, you get Paul wants to create a context, and then he's going to lay out the argument, and you get a chance to kind of see what he's thinking, and he's trying to make sure that you understand all the nuances in order to get his main point. James is not concerned about that. James is, hey, I'm assuming you got the gospel, you're a believer. We're all in this together. Now do what it says, okay? And so for the feeler and the contemplator, James, I don't like James. Why you gotta talk like that? Why is it every black and white? For us people that love to live in the gray, it's like, James, no. Life is a lot more, there's a lot more nuance. What about the person's situation and the circumstance? What, you don't know their background. You don't understand their cultural disposition and nature and nurture and all these things. And so James is like, man, listen, I don't know about all that. Jesus died, he rose, now we do what he tells us to do, right? And either you agree or you disagree. And so if you feel that way, it's okay. But then there are those of us that are rule followers. Finally, somebody just tell us what to do. I'm tired of hearing all the extra stuff. Just say this. Are we supposed to do that or not? Are we supposed to believe this or not? Are we supposed to go left or go right? Because all this extra stuff, I don't get it. I'm confused. Just give me some rules. In that regard, it sounds more like Proverbs. So James can be comforting to some of us because it kind of clears up a lot of mental clutter, religious clutter. Because he's just a straight shooter. But I want to reframe it from feeling like, man, he's giving us rules and duties. In this first chapter in particular, he's reminding us of our values. He's reminding us of the goal. He's reminding us of the big vision of who you are called to be in Christ. So as we live in a complex world where there's a lot of nuance and there's a lot of differences and there's a lot of arguments and debates about what's real and what's not real, which way to go, James is going, listen, remember, this is our standard. This is our vision. This is who we are called to be. What's so funny about this chapter is he's given us this high standard, and he's going to get down, if you just heard what Kevin just read there at the end, this is what pure religion is. Do this, and do this. If not, you are wasting your time because you're lying to yourself. He's going to unpack in the rest of the book how we've not lived up to that standard. Okay? So I want to reframe it a little bit to go, okay, he's not just putting the hammer down on us with guilt and shame and a burden on our back. No, because what did Jesus say? Man, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. So when you hear these things, I don't want you to go, oh, man, oh, I'm not doing that. I'm not. You're going to feel, if James does his job right, you're going to feel some conviction and discomfort. But be reminded of the grace of God that will complete its work that started in you. I just don't want you to lose faith. That's why we said last week, trust the process. Okay? So we're going to be trusting the process in this passage again today. Everybody cool with that? So just a little bit of background and some context, because today the title of my message is Act On It. Okay? I need you to act on it. I need you to practice what you preach. I need you to, as Nike would say, just do it. I used to work in construction. And I used to do pool plumbing, okay? So did pool plumbing where we would lay the pipes and all that stuff for pools that would go into people's homes. So this is a job, it's a hot, sweaty job. It was in South Florida, so it was very hot, very sweaty. And so we would dig trenches around these pools that were being constructed, and we would lay these long pipes in there, and we would make sure that everything was glued together, and we would do all this work. And every once in a while in Florida, you have people called the inspector. The inspector would come around, and we didn't like it because you knew when he was coming. It's a little pickup truck, little white pickup truck, and they just ride around. And there was so much construction going on in Florida at the time that these dudes just roamed around. And if they saw some construction going on, sometimes they could stop their truck, hop out, go on your job site. Well, this had happened to us several times, and we're professionals. Don't worry. Our work was good, and we're professionals. But every once in a while, and I would see these older construction workers, you know, get a little angry and frustrated, you know, because you get this young guy jump out of the truck, clean, pristine, and he walk onto our job site. And he just mosey around the site, looking at our work, looking down on our stuff now, and it's... there's a lot happening here, okay? There's a little bit of authority. There's a little power. There's a little, you know, because he could stop this thing. He could help us. He could hurt us. A lot of things happening. And, man, did y'all glue that correctly? All right, are these pipes going to hold? You know, are these? All right, man. All right, you guys. Yeah, y'all are a good crew. Y'all know what y'all are doing. Yeah. So I know this is going to be good. And no, that guy would end up leaving, and they would get angry. And there'd be a lot of, you know, it's a job site, construction job site, so there's a lot of words that are used. What made them even more angry was he wasn't battle-tested. He never worked in the trenches like we worked in the trenches. He's only read the books. He's clean. He's never had to do the stuff. He knows somebody at the county, or he knows somebody downtown. Or maybe, now that I look back, he was smart. Just get a job for the inspector. Don't go through the hard stuff. The problem is, when those old-timers would ask him, do you know what this is? Do you know how to do what I'm doing? Well, no, I just know in the rule, you know, in the books, it said, and, you know, the county expects. No. Do you know how to do my job? Because you're inspecting me, you're trying to tell me, and you're going to test my work. But you could not recreate what I've done. And all of us know that feeling. The most frustrating situations to deal with are the people who know a lot, have a lot of ideas, can explain a whole lot of stuff, but can't not lift a finger to help you at all. Good grief. You telling me to do all of this? You can't do this. If you tried, you could not do all of this. They can tell you what to do, but they're unwilling to help you because they can't do it for themselves. And so that's where James is coming at us today. Listen, talk is cheap. I don't want to hear you say nothing if you can't get in here and do the things that you have professed. And it's frustrating, no matter what kind of work you do, and it's even more frustrating for people that are not religious when they get around Christians whose life don't match up with what they profess. So, all right, so I know I've got vices. I know I've got issues. I know I've got problems in my marriage or whatever, in my thinking, whatever. What do I need to do? You just need to get your life right. No, I know that, but tell me what to do. I'm a Christian, so I can't tell you what to do. I just know you're doing it wrong. And those are like fighting words. You know what I'm saying? So James today is going, okay, listen. I want you to be people that listen. I want you to be people that are doing what it is that you say. So after you've listened to the word of God, after you've listened to the preacher, after you've read the scriptures and you've had your private, I want you to then listen to the Holy Spirit. What is he telling you? And then do what he says to do. Because the problem with so many of us is we do not act on what the word of God says, what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. And then we live these disjointed lives. And that's why we want to be people who are aligned in both our words and our deeds. So, first point that James wants us to see is this. Pay attention. Pay attention. Look at James chapter 1, verse 19. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Now, James has said a lot in chapter 1. So that's why I encourage you to go back and read chapter 1. It's a very short read. You can read the whole book in about 20, 25 minutes. Okay? So it's not difficult. And he's saying a lot of one-liners in there that'll punch you right in the gut. And so, but he's going, hey, I need y'all to pay attention. Because Lana pointed out, some of us got a lot of doubt. And we're blown and tossed by the sea. And he goes, hey, if you need wisdom, ask God for wisdom. Matter of factly. And that's a brilliant idea. Yeah, I need wisdom. I don't know. So I asked the God of wisdom to give me wisdom. And because he's kind and generous, he'll give you the wisdom. That's what James says. I'm like, okay. But going further, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Now remember, the people James is talking to are being persecuted. They're scattered all about. So they're dealing with a lot of pressure. They're dealing with a lot of complexity. They're dealing with a lot of issues, similar to us. You go to work, you got family life, you got your internal world, you got politics, you got culture, you've got the city. There's so many things that we're trying to navigate. So many of us, our instinct is to do the opposite of what James just said. But he goes, ho, remember, we're in Christ. We're being tested. We're being purified because our character is being formed. So take note of this. Pay attention to your life. Pay attention. Do not just go with the flow. Do not just get caught up in the slipstream of the comment section in the latest post. It is designed to get you to react. So slow down. Pay attention to your life. Slow it way down. Our lives reflect that we are prone to react, quick to respond, and quick to anger. True or false? That's our natural mode. And in Baltimore, you kind of got to be like that. Yo, what are they doing in the road? Hey, move! Like you can't. Hey, excuse me. I noticed you guys are a little bit busy right now, and I was just wondering if you could, you know, just, I've been waiting, you know, a couple minutes longer than I expected. Like, no, you go through Baltimore like that, you're not getting anything. You go through life like that, you're not getting anything. That's why I bring my wife with me to the doctor sometimes, because she'll ask for things I won't ask for. I'm like, hey, they look stressed out. I know it's McDonald's, but they stressed out. Give them a little, hey, we got things to do. Hey, can we get the food or not? Yeah. Just wait. Okay, gosh. So that's how life is. And James is going, hey, I need you to pay attention to your life because it's forming your character. I need you to pay attention because once you become reactionary like that, the things that you actually want, you won't get. Our default is to be quick to speak and quick to anger. But James reminds us we need to slow down and listen to what others have to say. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Listen to what the Word of God is saying. But more importantly and more relevant to this context, we need to listen to the Word of truth. Because in verse 18, James 1:18, it says this, He chose to give us birth, so new life in Christ, through the Word of truth, for a specific reason, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all created. So in other words, you are the sons and daughters of God that the world is waiting to be revealed. There is a lot in you that God is trying to draw out of you. So I've got to put you in certain circumstances to draw it out. But if you'll miss it if you get caught in the slipstream of the way culture does things. The way your family of origin taught you to react to certain circumstances. The way things are going, you gotta learn, let me stop because I've got to pay attention. He's trying to do something in me. He's trying to draw something out of me. So are you listening to what God has to say? We are often moving so fast and are so busy, we will not stop and listen to the word of the Lord. Even now, in this moment, all right, what do I want for lunch today? All right, when is this going to be over? All right, he's been up there a few minutes. Okay, all right. Tomorrow I got to meet 9 o'clock. I got to make sure. Aaron, that's right. We do need some avocado oil and, so we need to. And you'll miss it. You'll miss the opportunity to hear from the Lord because remember, the Lord does not speak in loud bangs. Thunder and lightning and all this kind of stuff. What is it? Still small voice. So we've got to retrain our minds in an era that is very loud. A lot of dings, a lot of notifications, a lot of booms, a lot of reactions. No, we've got to learn to tune our ears into the still small voice. And this also has a deep effect on our anger. We are doing so much and have so much to do that we are wound so tight and every little thing sets us off. So we want to see change. We want to see things happen. We want to see progress. We want to see growth. We want to be productive. We want to be more efficient. And a lot of times we use anger to push things over. And some of us use outright verbal, externalized anger. And that's some of us, but some of us have a more brooding interior anger that we don't speak about, but we've already reacted internally. Whew, man, they lucky I'm a Christian because, all right. I mean, this coffee is taking a long time and they're going to get a sharp thank you. They ain't going to get a nice, sweet thank you. They're going to get a thank you. You know what I'm saying? And you're going to walk off like that. And it has a deep effect on us. We cannot let someone, we don't want somebody to merge in the lane in front of us too quickly because we have places to be and we're running behind. We can't wait in a line too long because we've got so much going on. One of the most practical ways that we can become slow to anger is to slow down for the Lord. Just slow down. Stop squeezing God out by doing so much, by being too busy, and by having no time. Slow down to pray. Slow down to read the scriptures. Slow down and come to worship. A lot of times, and I get it, we've got so much going on in our lives. To come to a worship gathering on a Sunday morning at whatever time is a big sacrifice for us in our overloaded lives. But it's still a sacrifice. It's like, man, I got to slow down to give Jesus some time. The community of God, some time. Like, I got to do something. So slow down and even come to worship. Or overall, just slow down. Proverbs gives some explanation about the importance of slowing down our anger. Proverbs says, 29:11, fools give full vent to their rage, but the wise bring calm in the end. It takes wisdom to bring calm. It's easy to let people have it. Proverbs 16:32, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. I don't care if you overcome and take over a whole city. It is better for you to take over your soul and slow it down. The one who acknowledges, who has knowledge, uses words with restraint. And whoever has understanding is even tempered. So we're not saying be docile, but he's saying just get a hold of it and restrain it. So I want to, destroy some mythology. Is it wrong or bad or evil or sinful to get angry? No. Anger is an emotion. It's a part of life. Actually, God gets angry. So there is a such thing as righteous anger. We see Jesus get angry. He gets angry at the right ways, at the right time, in the right circumstances. And it is scary to people when he got angry. So anger in and of itself is not evil. It is human anger that James is talking about that gets a little out of line because I selfishly want y'all to get out of my way. I'm annoyed, therefore move or do what I say. I love the way John Mark Comer says it in Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. The solution to an overbusy life is not more time. You ever heard that? Man, if I just had a little bit more time. Man, if there's just one more hour in the day, then everything would. He goes on to say, it's to slow down. The solution to an overbusy life is not more time. It's to slow down and simplify our lives around what really matters. We're getting angry and giving up everything that we have, and we're tired because you're giving your time and attention to things that really don't matter. So let's become people, essentialist believers. What's essential for us to focus on and give our time and energy to? Second thing James wants us to see in this passage is this. And remember, these are high-level things. You're not going to get this right, not going to get this perfect. Some of us are feeling, oh, man, yeah, I do need to slow down. Okay, we're going to keep going. Second thing is this. Reject and accept. There are things you need to reject, and there are things you need to accept. We're going to go deeper into all of these areas, but right now, he's just giving us a high-level view of who you're called to be. Therefore, verse 21, therefore, get rid of all moral filth in the evil that is so prevalent and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So did you catch it? Reject all moral filth and evil and then accept the word of God. So reject and accept. He goes on, moral filth in every form of morally bad behavior is to be rejected. Now, that's easy for some of us that have been believers or Christians for a long time. I know not to touch the big stuff, the salacious things. I know to avoid those things. But as you grow and mature over time, it's a little bit like what I said about anger. We express it differently. So the pride that we have is self-righteousness, not just outright arrogance. So we've got to be a little bit more in tune to, okay, what is actually going on within me? I revealed to y'all last week, I was becoming judgmental in my parenting. That ain't something that, all right, you're doing a good job. I mean, where you come from, what you learned, you didn't have a teacher, but like you're doing pretty good. Yeah, but there's still something going on in my heart that I need to be paying attention to. So some of us can easily avoid the scandalous stuff, but it's the heart things that are now more tricky and more difficult that you need to pay attention to. So reject even those things that can be, it's not that bad. So James calls for a spiritual house cleaning. It's almost like you got to take off filthy clothes after a long day's work. This week we took the kids sledding around the corner behind the school, behind their house, right? And it was great, but it didn't last very long, okay, because they didn't have actual snow boots and shoes and all that stuff. So you're wearing sneakers and jeans, which absorb all the icy waters, okay? So after 3 sledding trips, we're done. We're out of here, okay? So my daughter was like, hey, take me home. You can leave them. I don't care, but take me home. So I take her home, whatever, and what happens? Immediately, you strip off those old things. Why? Because I don't need that clinging on to me anymore. And that's what he says. No, for the true Christian, we don't allow immoral, filthy behavior to remain in our life. So pride, envy, jealousy, no matter how subtle, is still moral and filthy behavior. So just because it ain't crazy doesn't mean it's not insidious or dangerous. He goes on, for the word of God, to work, it must be planted in a heart that is not full of weeds. Do you remember Jesus's parable about the weeds, the different types of soils that a person's heart can have? And he goes on to say, man, that the condition of your heart tells us about the type of people we are, how we hear the word. And it says, the weeds will choke out the word so that it will not have its proper glorious effect on our lives. So that's why it's essential that we slow down. Because are the weeds running rampant in our lives? Because we haven't done the proper house cleaning. Have we done the things to get in there in the nooks and crannies? So we continue to cleanse the heart and humbly receive the word that was planted in you. And where do these weeds come from? The weeds don't necessarily come from the outside. That's what's so tricky. It's not the news. It's not social media. Now, those things might spark some nuances, but you know where it comes from? James tells us in James 1:14. We're dragged away and enticed by our own evil desires. So it comes from the interior. That's why we got to maintain the work. I don't like being a homeowner. You know that? Can I admit that to y'all? I know the American dream is to be a homeowner and buy your own house and all that. I don't like being a homeowner. You know why? I've got to take care of all the nooks and cranny stuff. I want somebody else to do that. I just want to live here and be comfortable. I don't want to have, yo, living up north, you got to have a degree to live here. Y'all know that? I know for y'all, this is normal. I'm a Floridian. In the wintertime, you do not have to leave the water dripping a little bit so that the pipes don't burst and all that. What? If it rains too much and the power goes out in the basement, then you gotta have the pump to make sure that the water gets pumped. What? This is too much. I'll just rent the house. If it's broken, can you come fix it, please? But with our soul, we don't get to do that. We gotta clean the gutters. My mother-in-law from Wisconsin, Charlie, did you clean the gutters? No. Charlie, did you get in there and do it? No. I don't want to. I don't want to. Why does it smell bad in the basement? It smells funny. Well, what you're supposed to do is run the water and then flush the toilet and then it kind of pushes out the gas and the air. No. I just want to go to the bathroom. But for us as believers, watch this. You've got to remain teachable. We can become lulled to the word of God, and it doesn't permeate the same. because we've got conflicting thoughts and opinions and feelings. We must remain teachable. We must be submissive to the scriptures. James may say some hard things. The scriptures may say some difficult things. That does not give us a right to go, well, I'm just going to be passive here. No, we remain submissive to the word. We reject and we humbly accept. And the last thing is we listen and apply. Verse 22 to 25 says this, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is someone who looks at his face in the mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he's looked at. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. So hearing the word must be followed up with obedience. Not more conjecture, not more thoughts and opinions. Well, I need to go and survey the land and see. My other pastor said it like this. Well, this commentary says it like this. On this podcast I was listening to, they had a really interesting perspective on that. And we never actually get to any point of obedience. So obeying what we have heard is the ultimate goal. And we are deceiving ourselves if we think that listening is enough for character formation. I love this. Have y'all seen those Peloton bike things? Peloton bikes? Back in the day, you just had a treadmill. It was just a treadmill, and then on the front it had numbers and then, you know, little things. So it's fine. If you don't use that, it's fine because it's not exciting. It's just you in the treadmill. And then you can use it for a clothes hanger if you want. You can do all kinds of stuff. Like, so that's what the treadmill is for. But now, with like a Peloton, there's a big TV on the front. And not only is there a TV, you can get a subscription that the trainer can, you and a group of people around the world can train together. But James goes like this. Some of y'all got a Peloton, y'all turn it on, get the personal trainer on it, yelling and screaming and sweating. Come on, guys, let's go. We're pushing through. And you're sitting on the couch eating Doritos, watching TV. Well, listen, I heard everything they said. It was great. They were really working hard. And literally, if you go at this pace, you'll burn this many calories. We know everything about it. But we're not doing it. And if you saw that at somebody's house, you'd be like, what are you doing? Just turn it off. No. I love listening to it, the energy, and just everything. It's just doing something inside of me. And you go, no, you got to get on the bike, get on the treadmill, and do what they say. No, why would I do that? I'm not going to tell you about this lovely lady I know that started working out and got on a treadmill. And as soon as she started to sweat, she got off because it meant she had done her workout. As soon as she started sweating, I'm not going to point at anybody over here, but I'm just telling you, there's people that have done that before. And I'm like, hey, when you started sweating, that was the workout. The other part was the warm up. You barely warmed up. And for Christians, we've got houses full of commentaries, podcasts, every Christian book, but you're still quick to anger, reactionary, and you don't listen. How is it? We, as these Christians in this era, we should be the best ever. James's people didn't have a Bible. We've got every version of the Bible, every pastor, every theologian, everything, TV, subscriptions, everything, comfort, air, heat, everything. And it's still almost impossible. But James says, listen, look into it, because it's hard. It's hard to look into the mirror of your own life and see what you see and go, okay, God is not trying to just expose me. He's not trying to break me. He's not just trying to point out all my flaws and failures. He's actually trying to do the work that I need to get better. I'm a son of God. I'm a child of God. And you know what I have to do with my kids in the morning? you got crust in your eyes, and you need to brush your teeth. And you know what they get? Angry. And I go, yeah, but I want you to look your best. I want you to be your best. I want you to feel your best. Therefore, do these things that feel uncomfortable for you. So don't be these types of Christians. And you remember, Jesus actually said something similar. He said this in Luke 11. As he said these things, a woman in the crowd raised her voice and said to him, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts at which you nursed." But he said, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it." Miss me with all the fanfare? You ain't got to tell me about how good it is. I want to actually see people that obey the word, that trust that when I tell you something, that I'm not trying to harm you, that I actually got what's good in mind for you. The Christian perseveres in God's word. The Christian always is studying, always examining, and always adjusting. This is who James says is blessed. So, what are our remedies to this? First, James said to slow down. Slow down. Take note of this. What is your life like? Are you reactionary? Slow down. Second is, put away all filthiness, but also reject the word of God humbly. So in summation, here's what I want to say. Verses 26 and 27. He says this, the marks, these are the marks of integrated faith. Because right now, a lot of times we can have disjointed faith, or I've said it before, disintegrated faith. It's not integrated in. It's here, but it's not here. Or it's here, but we're not living it. And he goes on to say this in James chapter 1, 26. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues, they deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God, our Father, accepts as pure and faultless is this. So he's going to tell you, for the rule followers, the ones that like clarity, he's going to say it. To look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So there's three marks of integrated faith. One is a controlled tongue. What you say actually reveals something about you, reveals something about what's going on in your heart. Reveals something. So I loved it. I remember going to youth camp one time when I was a kid, and this has stuck with me all these years. He said, man, we used to go around and say, oh, I slipped when I said this or that. Oh, I slipped. Shouldn't have said that. Oh, sorry about that. Sorry. I didn't mean to say that. And he caught on to this preacher at the youth camp, and he said, no, y'all aren't slipping. You're revealing. And we're revealing what's going on in here, what we think, what we feel. And so an integrated faith has a controlled tongue. The second thing integrated faith has is it cares for those who are distressed. What is acceptable to God is caring for the unfortunate. And in their time, it was orphans and widows were the most helpless people in their society. They had no one to provide food or clothing for them. And the scriptures are filled with teachings in the Old and New Testament saying, if you don't care about anybody other than yourself, your faith isn't really integrated. It's out of alignment. So wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Okay, we get that. Remove the evil from your deeds, from before your eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, correct oppression. Bring justice to the fatherless, plead the widow's cause. That ain't James, that's Isaiah. Saying the same exact thing. If anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need but closes his eyes to his need, how can God's love reside in him? Little children, we must not love with word or speech, but with truth and action. 1 John 3:17 and 18. So that's us. We want an integrated faith. That I don't know good theology. I don't just feel warm, fuzzy feelings, and I'm not just out in the street caring for the poor and the orphan, but it's not integrated. Ultimately, James wants us to do what? Act on it. You've heard these things, now put it into practice. And third, guard against corruption. The Christian must remain unstained from the world. Pollution of the soul is rampant. As I've showed you, you don't have to go out there and do scandalous things. You don't have to murder anybody. But we murder people in our hearts all the time when we demean them. So we've got to be careful that our soul is not becoming more and more polluted. So one framework I have for us at the very end is this. When I was leading Epiphany, we had I have five goals for the people in their discipleship. And because I came up in the South, it was an acronym called GRITS. Okay, anybody ever eat grits before? Okay, all right. Don't put sugar in your grits, ever, okay? That's just a public service announcement. So GRITS, G-R-I-T-S. But GRITS created the five goals I wanted for everybody in our church. I wanted them to know the gospel, know the good news. I wanted them to be in relationship with other believers so that they can get the encouragement they needed. I wanted them to know their identity in Christ, their identity in Christ. T, transformation. I wanted them to know that they can be transformed and make an impact in the world. But lastly, S, I wanted them to be led by the Spirit. So when you hear James talk and you hear these things, control tongue, care for the distressed, and guard against corruption, that's a high bar. Don't you know, some of you, now I'm really going to feel guilty when I see the homeless man on the street. Now I know I shouldn't say that again. And you're going to see all of this stuff. But here's the thing. You got to remember, the good news of the gospel is this, that it's already been paid for you. You do not have to earn your salvation. Get around people that will encourage you in your walk. Remember, you are already a son or daughter in Christ, and he delights in you already in your imperfection. That's your identity. And he will transform you if you're led by the Spirit. So remember that this week. When you're going through James and you're realizing I'm being exposed in ways and that's uncomfortable and I got to move into this direction, man, trust that he who began a good work in you is faithful to complete it. So do we have a gap right now? Sure. Some of us got bigger gaps than others. Some of us smaller gaps. But we still got gaps. But if we trust in Christ, he will complete the work within us. If the team will come up, I'm going to go do a little quick prayer. Worship team can come back. I want to pray for you real briefly. And my prayer is very simple. It's that we would be the types of Christians that would pursue integration. And one of the ways we can begin to do that is by taking communion. For believers, we can respond by saying, remembering the sacrifice Christ made for us and that we're already covered by the blood of God, by the blood of Jesus. So if you're a believer in here, I encourage you, take time to reflect on the goodness and the grace of Jesus over your life. Secondly, if you need prayer, some of you are feeling a little overwhelmed, a little nervous, a little anxious, that's okay. We have people that'll be in the back that'll pray for you, okay? And so these are ways that we can begin to put our words and our deeds and bring them closer together, amen? Let me pray for you. Jesus, I am so honored and thankful that we have a mix of voices when we read the scriptures that hit us from different perspectives and angles. Some are more forthright and direct than others, make us uncomfortable. But Lord, your word speaks through all of these varying voices to all of our varying lives because it is the one Holy Spirit that inspired all of them. So Holy Spirit, I pray that you would speak to each and every one of us. I pray that you would illuminate our hearts and our lives to see where we are having these gaps. You just showed us a grand vision of what it looks like to be an integrated believer in Christ. This is a lot. It can feel heavy. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to remember what you said. Your burden is light. that living in this world, it will be difficult, but you're doing a new thing in us. You're crafting our character. You're building us up. So Lord, help us to trust you. Increase our faith today. Increase our faith. Help us to look into the word intently and not waver, but to say, okay, I humbly accept you at your word and will follow you if you will walk with me. And you've promised just that. No matter where we walk, you'll walk with us. So Lord, we pray for your presence, that we'll be reminded of it all this week, and that you would go before us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Gallery Church podcast. I want you to take the message you just received and allow it to go deeply into your mind and heart. Let Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, do the deep work that only he can do. I want to say thank you to everyone who gives to the church. Your gifts make this podcast and ministry possible here in Baltimore and other parts of the world. You can be a part of our work by going to gallerychurchbaltimore.com/give or by downloading the church app from the App Store. You can also subscribe and share these podcasts with your friends and family. Thank you again for listening or watching, and may God's grace and peace be with you.